League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Every now and then, in the middle of sports talk, the Gloss, sometimes it's off the air, sometimes it's on the air, she gives us a zinger. She gives us some sort of insight that none of us could ever figure out. And one of them has to do with male grooming. And it's notable to you, Ron Culver, because you have a beard just like Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator of the Patriots. You've got that look. You've got the beard. You've got male grooming going for you. And Carla's got something to tell us about this.
So I have to see, Ron, if you and Matt have your beard for the same reason. So this is coming from...
Not likely, I might say. From afar. Without knowing. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I'll let you all guess. But this is coming from his former roommate and teammate. Why do you think he's grown out a beard? Ron, why have you grown out a beard?
I got tired of shaving.
Well, that's a good reason.
That is honesty at its finest. Okay.
I mean, that was one of the reasons that spurred it on. It was like, I'm tired of waking up and shaving every day. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to grow it out and see what it looks like. And it kind of stuck.
And literally. It works for you, I have to say.
Now I'm too afraid to shave it off.
You'd look like you were 20.
Exactly. Or younger. Like have real baby face going on.
No, that's true.
I don't have enough wisdom in the eyes just yet.
Yeah, so he grows it long in the face, and then he shaves his underarms. But go ahead. So what about the Patriots defensive coordinator?
So the reason that Matt grows his beard is to hide his dimples. Because you cannot be a coach of men with dimples.
Interesting. Dimples from a smile or dimples from an awkward teenage blemish?
No. From a smile.
Like, oh, really?
Things that women pay money for. Yeah. He's covering it up.
That is.
But think about it. I mean, you've seen him. He is a burly, tough looking dude. And don't you think dimples might just kind of temper that a little bit?
I think they just might. He does have a tough look. That beard gives him that captain of a ship type look, where when the storms get going and all such, she's got the beard flowing.
So not let's Mike, see if he keeps that captain look in Detroit.
Well, it's not that Mike Tomlin problem with the beard where you've got spit flowing down or all that kind of dilemma.
And nobody loving him enough to tell him.
No.
Yikes.
Hey, listen, when we come back, we're going to look at the MLB. We're going to talk some baseball. We're going
to... My gosh, we're back to baseball already.
We're going to look at why the hot stove has been so cold. Ooh. When we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
This is The Boss listening to The Boss.
As it works, as it should be.
Clever, Ron Culver.
I didn't even make that connection.
I love that.
I didn't even make that connection. I was going more baseball.
Oh, just go with it.
Well, you
That's
love Bruce
good.
Springsteen. So here, I'm the boss, David Gao, Carla Dawson, the Gloss. And we've been talking a lot of football. I think it's time we looked at a little baseball.
I love baseball. And you know what? It seems like, oh, my gosh, didn't we just finish?
Well,
but we're
broadcasting
in Houston, and we did just finish. Thank you very much.
Houston had a long, long, long season.
Best, longest season
ever. With a very, very happy ending.
Yes. Take down those Dodgers in 7 games for our first World Series championship.
So let's look at the Astros offseason while we're talking Astros.
That's been about 2 weeks.
They just picked up, I mean, they made a great trade. Garrett Cole, they got him from the Pirates. That is a heck of an addition.
Coal mine is what I'm going to call him.
The coal mine.
Yeah.
Well, he's a heck of addition to their rotation. Where do you see him sliding into that rotation?
I see him as, 1-2. I mean, maybe in the top three for sure.
Yeah, I see him as the number three on that roster. But it really rounds out.
Behind Verlander and Keuchel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you throw Cole in there, you got McCullers and Morton, and that top five is as good as anybody's in baseball.
Sure. I love it. And he's young, 27 years old. He was the number one pick in 2011. And, you know, he's had five seasons, 127 starts, 59-42. I mean, you know, he had a down year, which is why we're able to get him. But he came from a system in Pittsburgh that was very sabermetric, stat-headish, and it's what they do in Houston. So this is going to be a great fit.
Throws a 94-mile-an-hour fastball.
I know, a four-seamer.
So they are loaded. The Astros' rotation is good. And then, of course, what it does is it bolsters the bullpen because you've got some guys dropping down.
So that starting rotation now, two Cy Young winners in Keuchel and Verlander.
Yep.
And then you've got Cole and Morton and McCullers. That is mighty fine.
It's a strong top five. But so that was a trade. What's notable thus far in the offseason is there are a whole bunch of free agents who are waiting for a home.
About 130.
An amazing number this late in the whole scheme. And then you've got probably, well, look at some of the names. You've got probably the best hitter on the market this year as a free agent, J.D. Martinez, still unsigned. On the pitching side, Yu Darvish. There were rumors today that he might be going to the Brewers. Jake Arrieta. But these guys are still unsigned. There are a lot of big names yet to be signed. What are the reasons? I mean, there are a number of theories out there. What's taking so long?
Well, you know, just the three that you just mentioned. I mean, you take a look at J.D. Martinez, right fielder.
Yep.
Very inconsistent on the defensive side.
Yep.
Yu Darvish. We saw it in the World Series. It's the tale of two Yus. Who do you get? Do you get the one that's winning, or do you get the one that can blow an entire game? No kidding. Jake Arrieta, he's declining in value. You know, this is so they all have a little something, and they're big money free agents. And this is, I think, what really shows here. And like, I'll just take these three that we just talked about: is their WAR, their wins above replacement. They're mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the numbers are. They're very mediocre, and this free agent class right now has the lowest wins above replacement since 2006. So that is actually quantified. I mean, if you're looking at WAR, this is the lowest number we've had in 11 years. So it is a different sort of class.
So you certainly don't want to overspend what would be a mediocre class, and particularly in light of the players
of what's coming
next
with
year.
Machado and Bryce Harper, and yeah, they've got
Joel
some.
I mean, even there's a
Clayton Kershaw.
Clayton Kershaw is going to opt out of his contract and would be available. So this is a good year to save your pennies.
It is, and you know, now with we talk about these sabermetrics all the time. They make it less likely. These numbers make it less likely for you to throw big money at, you know, these players that are past their prime.
Well, what sabermetrics does is it gives you a more analytical look. There's
able
always
to quantify
the
it.
Impassioned, emotional fan reaction. Let's get
eye
this
test.
Guy. Eye test, and they jump into something. But no, the analytics create a more reasoned approach, which has probably slowed things down, particularly in light of a class that's not so stellar.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Boras, though,
oh man,
has come out and said that they're all great. I mean, he's a part of this, right? Because he's still expecting the top free agents of this year to fare like the top free agents of last year, regardless of how the class really is, regardless of the quality of the players. And he's held out some of his guys. I mean, they don't have a deal. The rumor on the street, Red Sox have offered J.D. Martinez, maybe the best hitter in this class, about a five-year deal at about $20 million per season, maybe $25 million per season. And Boras is holding out for a seven-year deal that would top over $150 to $175 million. And so there's that factor as well. Boras wants the same money this year as he was getting in previous years.
Yeah, regardless of what sabermetrics is telling you.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. He's an interesting guy because among baseball fans, I mean, Scott Boras, those are dirty words. I mean, his reputation is the worst among the agents. But it's not because he's sleazy or doing anything he shouldn't be doing. He's not any of those things. He's actually incredibly great at what he does, which is turning these players into major cash cows. I mean, he extracts the most money away from the owners, puts it in his players' pockets, but that makes fans nervous. I mean, he's not worried about the fans. He's worried about his players and himself. But
well, look, on the Astros, there's several big-name guys who are represented by Boras, which should make all the Astros fans nervous.
It should. You know, Keuchel and Marwin Gonzalez this year. Next year, Altuve and Lance McCullers up for free agency in 2019. Yeah, they're all Boras guys.
Well, and Boras' signature mark is he's never going to settle, right? He's going to get the top dollar that he can for these guys. So if you were a free agent baseball player, if you were an Jose Altuve, would you want Boras as your agent?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You want someone who is going to tirelessly work for you. And he is, like I said, he's incredible at what he does. It does not give him, you know, he knows he can out-negotiate any team.
Yep.
And that's who you want as a player. As a fan and as an owner, you don't love it.
Well, the amazing thing is there's only so much time left now before spring training. I mean, we're getting to a window here where the planes that are circling, some of these guys are going to have to land, and they're going to have to land in short order. Boris and his team have a lot of contracts to work out in a very short period of time.
Yeah, it's interesting because in 2006, the year that also had a low WAR going into this period, they had about, at this point, about 53% of the free agents had signed. We're at like 42 right now. So It's in the ballpark, but still pretty low. We're on the normal years that aren't these weird low WAR years. It's about 70% at this point. So it's a tricky time for sure.
Also a hot topic with MLB right now are Rob Manfred's attempts to shorten the game and having a 20-second pitch clock, limiting the number of visits to the mound. Do you think this is good for baseball?
I do think it's good for baseball. Here's the bottom line. Nobody likes change. Okay, baseball began in 1869, and there's never been a pitch clock.
Yep.
So people are not running to have that happen, that's for sure. But interestingly enough, it's been in the minors, been tested in the minor leagues since 2015, and it's kind of a no issue. It's really worked pretty well. But, you know, these major leaguers, they're professionals. They don't like change.
Well,
see anything wrong with
the system. The 20-second rule for a pitch, it seems to me once you get in a certain rhythm and that's a norm, that really would be something you would just get accustomed to. It would not be hard to execute for a pitcher.
Right.
That one strikes. The other big one, of course, is how many
mound visits
can mm-hmm. you do? And to me, there really needs to be a limit there because unlimited is sort of ridiculous. It'd be like saying in an NFL game that Belichick could call as many timeouts as he wanted.
Exactly. I mean, and it's really not unrealistic. They want to limit to 2 mound visits to the same pitcher
yep.
in the same inning. That's fair.
That's plenty, right?
I mean, come
right?
on. Because you know what Rob Manfred did? It's not like, oh, I just feel like putting rules because we don't have enough in baseball. He took a look at the average game length last year was at an all-time high at 3 hours and 8 minutes. He's like, you know what? We're losing young fans, and we want to keep these going. Like the NBA, I mean, they've got it going on. Those games move quick, this and that. And so he's putting these in place for the better of the game. This isn't to try and stick it to the players, but the players' union, they don't like this at all. They don't want to negotiate or anything. But, you know, Rob Manfred can unilaterally implement this himself. So either the players, I think the union needs to negotiate with him because he is willing to do that. Or it's just going to be imposed because it's going to happen. It's going to happen this year or possibly, you know, now or in 2019 season.
Well, I hope it does. I think speeding up the game would be good for baseball overall. And then lastly, we'll just see on these free agents. They're all going to find a home. The top guys will shortly, the economics to be determined, but it will be fun to watch. And we will be watching that and covering that each week here on The Boss and the Gloss. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit. This is a neat development. We're going to get a chance to visit with Joe Adruzzi. He played offensive guard for the Patriots, a 3-time Super Bowl winner. And we're going to ask him, how does Belichick do it every year?
Let's get on the inside of that.
What's the secret sauce of the New England Patriots when we return on The Boss and the Gloss.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Joe Adruzzi, the former guard of the New England Patriots, a 3-time Super Bowl winner under Coach Bill Belichick. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So the obvious question to me is, how can this be yet again? How is it the Patriots do this year in and year out? It seems the only constant right now is Brady and Belichick. But goodness, how can they just keep doing it, these two guys? What's the secret sauce here?
It's the aroma that's in that building. And teaming up and putting the right pieces of a puzzle together is tough every year, and being able to do that year in and year out. And you look at everybody jokes around when Bill goes into the draft, you know, what's he trading this year, what's he doing with this pick, and this and that. And, you know, he's sort of like a financial planner. He's diversifying his portfolio. And, you know, when he's looking at the upcoming year with the draft, he's also, you know, looking forward to the year after and the year after that.
We're talking to Joe Andruzzi, three-time Super Bowl winner with the Patriots. So going back to Belichick, he's had all his assistants leave. Sometimes they come back, like McDaniels. They come and go. And yet it seems every year he out-coaches the opposition. With assistants coming and going, and these assistants don't do that well in other places, is it really just what he's able to come up with each week? Is he the one doing most of the scheming? How much is he relying on his assistants?
Well, let's not fail. He relies a lot on the assistants. I mean, you can just see what a guy like Dante Scarnecchi has done with that offensive line and, you know, many things like that. But he relies on them, and he's also been in their shoes. He's, don't forget, he coached the Cleveland Browns back in the day in the 90s, and, you know, things didn't go his way. And, you know, you learn from your experiences, and, you know, I'm sure Josh did from his experience, and, you know, the other coaches that have left and moved on. But, you know, we'll see, you know, how they keep moving forward and how they're going to, you know, fill those spots. And, you know, Bill's done it year in and year out. And, you know, he's got guys in the wings that are ready to step in.
Joe, you mentioned earlier, you talked about the bringing in of talent in New England. And I'm just curious, with your experience, it seems like everybody that they bring in ends up being a superstar. You're talking about Chris Hogan. You're talking about Deion Lewis. You're talking about people that, names we didn't talk about before they were in New England. Is it that the coaching staff really is filled with skilled talent evaluators, or is it that this system that they have built is just really geared towards success for anyone who's willing to put in the work?
That last line you just said, it's you want to put in the work and you'll gain everybody's respect if you're going to step in there and work as hard as everybody else. It's we started it early in the 2000s. Many of us that were casted off from other teams. I was cut by the Packers, and Bill picked me up in 2000. You know, many guys like that. You know, look at Brady for one. Brady was a sixth round pick, basically a free agent. And he was a fourth-string quarterback in 2000. He didn't play it down. And then it come back in 2001, and, you know, he finds guys like Larry Izzo and Mike Vrabel. Vrabel was a special teams guy for 4 years with the Steelers. You know, he wasn't an every-down guy. Even Teddy Bruschi, he was with the Patriots, and, you know, he wasn't an every-down guy. So, you know, these guys, you know, step in and are able to fill a void and a gap and to have that work ethic where, you know, when we're at practice and doing that little bit of extra, whether it's if his scout team's going, the other guys are running extra and, you know, being able to put that little bit in because, you know, we see it week in and week out. Come that fourth quarter, you know, they still got a lot of stamina going and, you know, they're able to go back out there to, you know, whether they're down or not, to keep pushing it.
Okay, Joe, I've got the million-dollar question for you. Did Belichick make Brady, or did Brady make Belichick?
I think they made each other. Mm-hmm. It's been a great partnership, and I think you know, when Brady got the opportunity in 2001, when Drew went down, you know, he worked hard, and the whole offseason that year, he was in the weight room, bigger, faster, stronger. Then he was in the classroom. He was watching, you know, old videos of Montana, Sims, and, you know, all those guys, and gaining tangibles and that worked and others that didn't. And, you know, he strives himself on making him better. He knows that he's not perfect. He's human, and he is going to go out there and make mistakes here in and here out. And, you know, he tries to put forth his best, you know, every day at practice and every game.
We're talking to Joe Andruzzi, former guard for the Patriots, a three-time Super Bowl winner. Okay, so you played on the offensive line, and when we look back at yesterday's game, there was the 3rd-and-18 conversion, plenty of protection for Brady. The touchdown pass to Amendola,
late in the game, that was a big, I mean, Brady stood there with his feet flat. He had the time. He lined up. He
made a few phone calls.
Yeah. The offensive line play down the stretch, particularly in the second half, looked really impressive. What did you see?
Yeah, they really formed together great. They got a couple of guys throughout the year. They've been nicked up a little bit, but they got a group of at least eight guys that can go in and out, can step in as if nothing went wrong or nothing happened. So they really have come together as the year went on and able to keep Brady upright, because he's not a running quarterback. It's one of those things where if he's running, you want to bite your nails.
Well, it looks like slow motion when he starts running.
Oh, yeah. We had a coach back in the day used to say Brady can't run out of sight in a week.
Oh, I love it.
He's not running, but he's proved himself that he can run the ball every once in a while.
Yeah, and he slides well in the pocket to buy time very effectively.
Yes, he knows his surroundings. He feels it.
Yeah, I think he knows everything around him for sure. But, a quarterback is only as good as the guys protecting him. And you being on the O-line for so many years, Joe, do you think that the O-line, they don't get enough press? We only hear about them when they're porous. I mean, do you think they're kind of the unsung heroes behind these great quarterbacks like the Bradys, like the Aaron Rodgers, like these people?
Yeah, I truly believe that. I know Tom personally, and Tom is the first one to say that he'd be nothing without his O-line, and he'll give his accolades to those guys, and even to his tight ends and running backs, and even his receivers, everybody's whole offense, and his many quarterbacks that are very similar. I mean, I'm pretty much probably 99% of the quarterbacks that have played in this league or played any type, college or high school, that understand that if their name's in the paper, they're doing great, they had a great year, they're winning championships, and I think they truly understand that they can't go out there and do it themselves. And Tom knows that he's not going to go out there and throw the ball to himself and hand the ball off to himself and block for himself either. So he knows that he has to do it with a whole team that rallies around him.
Well, Joe, if you decide to make a comeback, I think you want to block for Leonard Fournette, because he just bought his entire line plus the backups engraved Rolex watches as a thank you for all the protection this season. So I'm thinking you want to be protecting Leonard Fournette.
Did you ever get a gift like that, Joe?
Yes. I got a few gifts throughout my years. Tom took care of us a few times, and he bought us all computers 1 year, watches another year. I know after I left, he got the line 2 year car leases and stuff like that. And when I left and went to Cleveland, one of our backs got us nice watches. So it's a great thank you gift, and knowing that we don't get the accolades, and the only time you hear our names is when you see a yellow flag on the floor,
right?
Or something like that. But it's great to receive that, because you get a lot of respect from the guys that are around, you, and understand that what we do on every play is to help each other out and help each other win the game.
Well, that's Joe Andruzzi. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. He's a 3-time Super Bowl winner, and so I guess you're picking Patriots this weekend.
Next weekend.
Next weekend, yes.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Joe.
So those gifts, Fournette gave Rolex watches to his offensive line. You'd be fine with my giving a Rolex watch to you, right? As a member of the team here?
Of course.
Ron's saying he's all in.
Bribing gets you everywhere.
It does, doesn't it? What are you looking for, Ron?
Bribing keeps his mic on.
There we go.
That's right. Without a gift, you might just shut me down.
I bribed Ron with a gift earlier in the show.
You did?
Yeah. I know where my bread is buttered. I'm not dumb.
All right. When we come back, we will dive into the famous He Said, She Said segment. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are in this segment. We have our He Said, She Said segment, where we look at comments by sports luminaries and what they had to say this week that was notable. And usually these things do span the emotions. This one we start out with is actually very, very tragic and sobering. We're going to hear from Allie Raisman, who was one of the over 135 courageous women who came to trial of Larry Nassar and told her story, provided testimony that is going to put Nassar away for the rest of his days. So we're going to give a moment to Allie Raisman, a gold medal gymnast, to tell her story and address Larry Nassar.
I didn't think I would be here today. I was scared and nervous. It wasn't until I started watching the impact statements from the other brave survivors that I realized I, too, needed to be here. Larry, you do realize now that we, this group of women you so heartlessly abused over such a long period of time, are now a force and you are nothing. The tables have turned, Larry. We are here, we have our voices, and we are not going anywhere. And now, Larry, it's your turn to listen to me. There is no map that shows you the pathway to healing. Realizing that you are a survivor of sexual abuse is really hard to put into words. I cannot adequately capture the level of disgust I feel when I think about how this happened. Larry, you abused the power and trust I and so many others placed in you, and I am not sure I will ever come to terms with how horribly you manipulated and violated me. Little girl you met in Australia, where you first began grooming and manipulating. As for your letter yesterday, you are pathetic to think that anyone would have any sympathy for you. You think this is hard for you? Imagine how all of us feel. Imagine how it feels to be an innocent teenager in a foreign country, hearing a knock on the door, and it's you. I don't want you to be there, but I don't have a choice. Treatments with you were mandatory. You took advantage of that. You even told on us if we didn't want to be treated by you, knowing full well the troubles that would cause for us. Lying on my stomach with you on my bed, insisting that your inappropriate touch would help to heal my pain. The reality is you caused me a great deal of physical, mental, and emotional pain. You never healed me. You took advantage of our passions and our dreams. You made me uncomfortable, and I thought you were weird. But I felt guilty because you were a doctor, so I assumed I was the problem for thinking badly of you. If we are to believe in change, we must first understand the problem and everything that contributed to it. Now is not the time for false reassurances. We need an independent investigation of exactly what happened, what went wrong, and how it can be avoided for the future. Only then can we know what changes are needed. Only then can we believe such changes are real. Your Honor, I ask you to give Larry the strongest possible sentence, which his actions deserve. For by doing so, you will send a message to him and to other abusers that they cannot get away with their horrible crimes. They will be exposed for the evil they are, and they will be punished to the maximum extent of the law. Let this sentence strike fear in anyone who thinks it is okay to hurt another person. Abusers, your time is up. The survivors are here, standing tall, and we are not going anywhere. And please, Your Honor, stress the need to investigate how this happened so we can hold accountable those who empowered and enabled Larry Nassar, so we can repair and once again believe in this wonderful sport. My dream is that one day everyone will know what the words Me Too signify, but they will be educated and able to protect themselves from predators like Larry, so that they will never, ever, ever have to say the words Me Too. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm an
adult. That was the voice of Allie Raisman, former gold medal winner and a courageous woman, one of over 135 women who came forth to testify against Larry Nassar. Boy, so many reactions. But it starts with me. How could this have happened, and how could it have gone on for so long?
Because people like Larry Nassar are excellent at what they do. Have you ever met a con man you didn't like? Mm. They know how to manipulate. And I want to say, you know, it's hard to hear Ali Raisman's voice and imagine she's 24 years old. So I want to be clear about that. Ali Raisman for president is what I'm saying. I loved what she did in that she gave a voice to victims, you know, and enabled people to come forward, gave a voice, her own story. She's been incredibly successful, gold medalist at the 2012 Olympics, again at the 2016 Olympics. But other than that, it wasn't just giving these victims a voice. She then demanded change in the sport that she loves, you know, USA Gymnastics, the US Olympic Committee, and to investigate how this all came about in the first place, which I thought, you know, that's really cool. It's one thing to survive what she has survived, and that's not easy in itself. But then to say, but it's not going to be anything unless you go backwards and look at how it happened. So, wow, it's so impressive. I loved, my favorite line of hers was, "We victims are a force, and Larry, you are nothing." I love it. That's so powerful. This is a very, 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 very tricky time. But, you know, you're seeing different boards of directors from USA Gymnastics stepping down today. She is affecting change. And so are these brave victims that come forward. So I hope this is just the beginning. And hashtag me too, Allie. Wow. Amazing. Wow.
A brave voice of Allie Raisman. Well, that's our opening on He Said, She Said. And it will, well, we will not have anything to compare to that. But let's shift gears. We'll go back to the NFL. And we're going to hear from a sports luminary in the NFL. I understand it's going to be – Ron, do you want to introduce this
Ron's
one?
Ron's got something up his sleeve.
I mean, obviously, we all know, it's no surprise, you're a Cowboys fan. You're a Cowboys fanatic. I am assuming –
I will come out of the closet. I am a Cowboys fan.
I'm assuming you love Tony Romo.
Well, yes, he does. I do.
Yeah. And so did you happen to catch – I mean, how do you like him as a broadcaster?
I love him as a broadcaster.
And if you, so have you heard some of the criticism he's been getting lately as of today?
Well, when they criticize him, I just cover up my ears. I don't hear those things.
Okay.
Here they come, I guess.
Well, it's not his criticism. It's, I don't know, we're trying to figure out what he was trying to say here.
Duly noted.
Never touched him. That's a catch. We got to see this. Oh, that's loose. That is definitely.
Oh my gosh, that is making me cry laughing. That is the
well,
best.
I don't know what happened there. Yeah, thankfully, there were no beeps this week. I mean, but sort of edgy there. I mean, he really seemed like he was enjoying what he was watching.
The first one was him calling, I think it was Amendola's catch.
It was, right.
You know, we're barely scooping it up.
That was the, ooh.
Yeah, that was that first one.
Because they kept replaying it from different angles, so he had different, you know, sound effects for each angle he was seeing.
Very nice.
Now, are you going to adopt the Tony Romo way of broadcasting?
Well, it seemed to work for him. People like him a lot better than they like me. Maybe I need to. Little ooh and ah up here.
You know what I loved about that? That was clearly, that was not taught in broadcasting school. But it was raw emotion. He knows the emotions of a big game like this and how it calls like that. That Amendola call, those things matter. Those are game changers. And so his emotions, definitely.
And truthfully, it's every one of us. We're watching those games and like, oh, did he actually get it? I mean, we're all making those sounds.
Sure.
He just gets paid a lot more to do.
That's right.
What I love about him is I do learn something from him when he's talking about what's going to happen and why there was
he's
a certain
John
route.
Gruden-esque in that way.
John Gruden. I'll go back to John Madden when he first had the chalk telestrator. I used to love to see the whole play drawn up and see how it unfolded.
Ron, do you see how all these Raiders are so influential?
Oh, that's right. A former Raider, John Madden.
Madden, John Gruden.
For those who do not know, Carla Dawson, the Princess of Darkness, wears black every single week, head to toe.
I do, actually. But Ron does not share that love.
No, I don't share the Raider love. I'm a Raider hater.
But I do. I think Romo has been a great addition this year.
Too.
I think he's been great in the booth. I love the fact that I learned something from him. I love his natural enthusiasm and how it comes out over the air. He's been very good.
He's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Yeah, I like it.
All right. That was, he said, she said, number two. We've got a number three, and this is under the heading of romance. This is a lovely, this is...
Not Romo, but romance?
No, we're moving from Romo to romance. Julie Ertz, who is a USA soccer player, and was told that her husband was going to the Super Bowl, her husband Zach Ertz, the tight end of the Eagles. Let's hear what she had to say. We're lost in all that. Well, was whether she won, but she was very happy for him, right? I mean,
well, she scored a goal for the U.S. Women's National Team in a 5-1 friendly, so that was great for her. Yeah. They always win.
They always win.
Yeah, and she's a rock star. She's so good.
But there was a lot of joy in that voice, a lot of celebration in the Ernst family. I mean, this is really fantastic.
I mean, what a power couple. Think about this. Oh, sorry, love. I can't go to your, you know, NFC playoff game because I got to play in a friendly for the U.S. Women's National Team. So, you know, we'll just catch up after. Who talks like that?
Amazing.
That is just
cool. She wasn't even in a place to watch it. And,
right.
And another clip, she said at halftime, she told nobody, she said, I don't want to know. I can't think about it. But people were smiling at her, so it made her feel positive. Because the Eagles were doing quite well by halftime.
Oh, my goodness.
At the halftime of the game, she was getting
38
some
unanswered points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he had a beautiful 36-yard reception. So, yeah, good old Zach. So, and he was equally as emotional when he heard her reaction.
That's
so
right.
They are newlyweds. It's still fresh. Still for time for that bloom to fall off the rose, but hopefully not. Can you imagine their kids? Oh, my gosh.
Two exceptional athletes.
Yeah, they'll end up playing football someday.
One of the footballs.
One of the footballs.
Right.
It's a safe bet. They'll probably play football someday.
Well, so what's the best comparable couple, power couple, dating? I mean, there are others like this.
Well, I mean, I think the ultimate power couple, if you're going
in sports,
would be Andre Agassi, Steffi Graf.
Mm.
I mean,
true.
That kid better have a tennis racket.
Born with a racket in
his
hand.
Gosh, the pressure on that kid if he doesn't, right? But you know, it was when you said we were going from Romo to romance,
yes.
I think we might have a new name for the duo of Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. It can be Rome Nantz.
Very nice. Yes.
You like it instead of Bro Nantz?
Well, when he keeps oohing and aahing sitting next to Jim Nantz, I mean, that certainly begets something.
They are good together, I have to say.
They're great together.
Yeah. It's a good pair.
You know, last week I think we ended our show deciding who should be the new Monday night host to replace John Gruden.
Oh, right. That was me.
I suggested Carla Dawson.
Yes, that was a little crazy.
Ron Culver said somebody else.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, you wanted Bruce Arians, right?
I said Bruce Arians.
And I like that one.
Even a Peyton Manning would be good, but I don't want to lose Carla.
You don't want to lose Carla?
No.
She would never leave us.
Shucks.
It's still Monday night. I mean, that's the problem. It is the same night. Well, there's a conflict.
You'd simulcast?
I'd simulcast. I'd do anything for you two.
All right. Well, we're going to keep Carla here. The Boss and the Gloss will continue.
Deal.
Breaking news right here. You heard it first. All right. When we come back, we will empty out the notebook. The closing segment to come. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Hate to wrap this up. We've learned so much tonight.
We really have.
A night of big revelations.
But taking it out with a little AC/DC is always good.
Well, that helps.
From the past.
It was sort of interesting. Julie Ertz, tearful that her husband is now going to the Super Bowl. You have a man friend.
Yes, I do.
If he were to go to the Super Bowl, hypothetically, you would be tearful. It's a big moment, right?
I would be so tearful.
Okay, so we learned that. We learned that. Well, Leonard Fournette's not the only one who gives his offensive lineman gifts. Tom Brady has given some great gifts.
Very generous. Two-year car leases? Computers?
Two-year car lease. That's even better than a Rolex watch.
Wow, and I wonder if it's for his TB12 edition of, you know, those fancy cars.
We learned why Philly fans are so exceptional.
I loved knowing that.
Yes. It's the intersection of passion and knowledge. They're smart fans, and they're very, very passionate fans.
About all Philly sports. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's great.
That's true. It certainly is true of baseball as well. It's not mm-hmm. just the Eagles. Mm-hmm. They are the Flyers. I mean, yes, it's all the
sports.
Hockey,
everything.
No doubt.
Yeah.
We learned why Matt Patricia has a beard.
Yes, we
do. He has to cover up his dimples, you said. He wouldn't look like a tough football player.
That's right.
Okay.
And we also learned why Ron Culver has a beard.
Well, Ron Culver just doesn't like to shave. He's not very kept. He's just a little unkempt, I think.
But it becomes him.
Now, we learned why we need Crisco, what the real meaning of Crisco is.
There's finally a use for Crisco that is not bad for our health.
No, I mean, we learned that, you know, Philly likes to grease their poles.
There we go.
Oh, my gosh. Now
no
I'm
further explanation
it takes
needed.
A lot to make me feel uncomfortable.
We open and close the pole with oh, gosh, open and close the poll. We need to stop now.
We learned some open other things tonight.
Close the show with Crisco polls. This is not a good night.
Well, and lastly, we did learn that Bill Belichick, of all people, the guy who does everything right, seemingly, needs to learn how to give a better man
hug. Awkward man hug.
He had an awkward man hug with Matt Patricia. Mm. They hugged each other the wrong way, too long, too something, but it just didn't look right.
Cheek to cheek. It was awkward.
It made men all over America uncomfortable.
Cringeworthy.
Well, we learned a lot tonight, and it was great to be with you, the Gloss, and you, Ron Culver, behind the glass.
You too, David, Ron. Always good to be with you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.